Third and final hour here of the show. We thank you so much for being with us. Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph, my name is Damian Barling. This is The Lowdown. I want to cap off the conversation we were just having. Michael Jordan, Space Jam 2. You suggested, we collectively suggested Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
We have some suggestions here on the text line at 44-1140. If Kobe Bryant is the star, could Shaq be the main villain?
Ah, there you go.
Then there's the big group hug. We're all friends there at the end. And
okay.
I like it.
I like it. Can I make Lil Penny one of the aliens, too?
He's on Shaq's team?
Yeah.
It works.
Make them all big, a big old love fest.
I like it. It's good stuff. Suggestion here. I actually like it. Gentlemen, what do you think about Dwight Howard in the role? Come on, he's fun. It's a perfect venue for him.
Straight to DVD.
Yep. You have to have one.
Tough crowd.
I think you have to be a winner. Yeah. With all due respect.
Blake Griffin, excuse me.
Hey,
oh, that's a good call. You're right.
The aliens would figure it out. They'd hack Howard. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Hack a Howard.
The whole movie is Dwight Howard at
shooting
the foul
free
line.
Throws. No.
That's not going to play. Yeah. No, it's not going to play.
I don't imagine that would be the most entertaining thing either. Yeah. Or the Monstars could be Dwight Howard, like
yes.
Andre Drummond, DeAndre Jordan.
Free throw fest.
Yeah, that's the question. What legends are they going to go to suck the energy, the talent from? That's a good question.
And who would be willing to appear in it if they're not the star? Like, LeBron couldn't be in a supporting role.
Right.
Steph Curry couldn't be in a supporting role.
Well, no, he could because, there's only one star. And then,
And if it's not him, he's not going to be in it. No chance.
Steph's not big enough to command
no
that
chance.
Yet.
You don't think so? Two-time league MVP?
No, I understand what he's accomplished. I just don't think that he's big enough to carry. I don't know if he would sell tickets.
We don't want Aisha tweeting about it.
You understand what I'm saying?
Nah, that too.
I don't think you can sell tickets with him as leading in that role.
I'm not saying he leads. I'm saying if you have Blake Griffin as the lead of Space Jam 2,
right?
You have to fill the roster around him. You can't put LeBron in it because LeBron would say, no, if I'm not the star, I'm not in it. I'd imagine Curry would say the same thing.
Wow. So then why did those other guys do it? Because it was the first
league. It was Michael Jordan's league. It was very simple. And those were all Jordan's buddies.
Well, but
Sean Bradley.
Yeah, really?
Well, maybe Sean Bradley is an exception.
And he was humiliating them the whole time. Right?
In the movie?
Yes. Remember, he's like, you guys want your game back? What little game you had.
Oh, Jordan probably threw that line in as trash talk. He probably demanded that line be in there.
Mm-hmm.
He freelanced on that one.
Oh, yeah, ad-libbing?
Yeah.
Who's the director of Space Jam?
I don't even know.
It's somebody.
That's up your alley. That's
it's
the
somebody.
One you should know.
It's somebody.
Team USA, another big win yesterday. I watched like 2 minutes of it.
They had a monster first quarter.
And that's what I watched. Yeah. I watched the first quarter.
They had 40-something in the first quarter? Something like that?
Yeah.
The first few, yeah.
It's not fun.
Yep.
It's not fun to watch.
Nothing's been competitive really at all. I mean, DeMarcus is playing
well.
Will
you be interested when the – that's right. He is playing well. Will you be interested when the Olympics get here? Like, do you think you could sit down and watch USA basketball for an entire game?
I don't know that I will. I'm into more of the other events. Again, I think with that team, to me, what becomes a story is if they lose, which I don't want that to happen, and I'll watch the final because I want to see DeMarcus get a gold. But other than that, it's like, eh. Unless you get an alert like, Team USA is down in the second half. Wait, what? Okay, now I want to see how they respond. But other than that, I anticipate everything 20 points or more.
Yeah.
Sorry, the director of Space Jam is a guy named Joe Pytka. The other film he did was called Let It Ride, which is actually one of the greatest horse racing movies ever made.
Not familiar with it at all.
Dreyfus?
Yes, yeah. Dreyfus is a degenerate gambler.
Yeah.
The whole movie.
Okay.
So there you have that. Okay, going back to what you guys were talking about. The question was about being at all interested about Team USA in the basketball in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Winning games by 40, 50. Because the Dream Team you wanted to watch, right?
Well, that
because
was the first
it was,
time.
It was yeah. so yeah. unique.
How dominant can they be?
Okay, we're winning. All right.
They may have us intrigued in Sacramento only because of all the reports that are coming out concerning Team USA and telling people in Sacramento that DeMarcus Cousins has been the most consistent player on the team. Coach has just been raving about not just his play, but his behavior, his attitude, his unselfishness on the court. They've been raving about that. So I think that's one of those things where the Sacramento Kings fans are like, DeMarcus Cousins? We want to see this.
Yeah.
We want to see all these positives you're talking about, and then hopefully it translates and he brings it back to Sacramento. But All these things they're saying about him, I want to see it now.
Yeah. I just want to point out.
So that's intriguing.
The gold medal game is about 2 months before the NBA regular season starts.
Yeah.
So all of us holding out hope that it's somehow going to translate and transfer over to training camp for the Sacramento Kings, I would relax on that a little bit.
Why? I mean, wouldn't it be natural for him to the experiences that he has gained here being with a bunch of other elite players who know how to get prepared for the game, who know how to be leaders? Everyone's saying that all that's going to rub off on him. And then you're saying 60 days later, he will have forgotten all of that.
No, but I won't say he would have forgotten 60 days later. However.
But in a night in December when you're losing to Philadelphia by 11 points on your home court.
December? I was thinking mid-November.
Oh, too early.
I was thinking somewhere around the fourth or fifth home game. What did it take? Was it last year? Was it eight games?
The eighth game was a big eruption.
Okay.
But that was different.
So now we're down to four. Oh, it was
different. That's
different
because you had stuff happen in the summer that he held on to the whole time and just built and built and built and built. Now we have positive stuff from the summer.
It could go either way. Mm-hmm. Like we've mentioned, it really did wonders for Carmelo Anthony.
Right.
But Carmelo Anthony was able to come back in 2008 and be a part of a team that had the opportunity to win. It'll be interesting to see if it translates for a player who's on a team that hasn't been able to win. Because it's easy to say, oh, he took his Olympic experiences and fed his team, and his team was able to, you know, go to the second round of the play. Well, the chances are, before the Olympics started, they were already a playoff team. Mm-hmm. DeMarcus's team sucks. They're terrible. Okay, so he had this great Olympic experience. Suddenly he's going to be able to lift them, and all of the things that we've seen are going – and that's not enough reason for me, because I expect them to have this demeanor because look who he's with.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think what shouldn't be lost is he's been with this team for a couple of years. He's played other summers with also then Kobe and LeBron has been around. I mean, other guys that I don't know, it didn't translate before.
So here's a question, and maybe I can save it for three the hard way. It doesn't matter, we can bring it back another day. Which do you prefer? If they lose, we don't want Team USA to lose, but I'm saying if DeMarcus loses in the Olympics, will that help him?
No.
I don't think so.
At all? So you think that he's not mature enough to be like, okay.
Because then he's on the first team to have lost since 2004.
And then he's worse off when he comes back to Sacramento because he's mad and frustrated.
I don't think it's either. I think we're putting too much on this. I think the thing that happened with Carmelo, the things that happened with some of these guys is organic. We're trying to force this Olympic experience to make DeMarcus Cousins change as a human being. I don't think that's going to happen. Or a basketball player, I shouldn't say as a human being. We're trying to force how he approaches professional basketball because of this Olympic experience.
Isn't that logical, though, to think that it might help a player who has been immature and lacking in leadership on the floor? You don't think that this experience, it would be logical to say, okay, this experience, if it's a positive one for him, can only help him as a player, and that experience can only help what he brings back to the team. He's the leader, whether anyone wants to admit it or not. He's the leader of the Kings.
I mean, I guess I could see where it potentially could help, but I think the bigger boost to the team would be if Ben McLemore got a lot better, if Rudy Gay was here, or whatever trade they do for that made the team better, along with DeMarcus. If Darren Collison didn't miss as many games, if every single move, if Aaron Aflalo comes in and gets back to a 16 points per game guy, if Tolliver, I mean, I think all those things have to happen for the team to be better as opposed to, I think you're right. I think it can help DeMarcus, but I don't know if it's asking too much.
But we also heard stories of how so many individuals, I don't know how so many, but there are a few individuals there that have deep resentment for DeMarcus. Mm-hmm. They don't like his attitude, and they don't like the way that the franchise, they say, maybe has been coddling him or treating him.
Yeah.
Now he comes back with a gold medal. Is there resentment in that locker room for this guy that they feel doesn't do things the right way, but yet still gets everything?
That's an interesting
question. That's a human nature. Because
I don't think you can't doubt his talent.
Right.
You can't look at that team and go, DeMarcus doesn't deserve to be on
there. I think people feel that he deserves that.
The talent, he's got the talent. But once again, we're talking about guys. There are guys in there. We're all human beings. I work with people in the industry where I'm like, that's a very talented person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the way you go about your job at all.
Yeah.
You're a horrible person to work with, but man, you're awesome at your job.
Right, but it's a whole lot harder to look at that person and goes, that guy sucks, and I hate the way he goes about his job. You can't say that with DeMarcus.
True.
So it's a lot easier to do what you just said. You have coworkers in the industry. You hate the way they go about their business, but you know they're talented.
Yeah.
That's a lot easier to swallow than having coworkers that you think suck, and you hate the way they go about their business.
Well, no, because that'll get worked out.
How?
You'll get flushed out in the end. Management of whatever industry you're in will be like, you got to go.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to go.
How about one that's almost the opposite, where I don't know that this player on the team has an issue? I'm talking about Harrison Barnes, but yes. I wonder why he's even on the team. Like, there's 20 guys that are more than 20, but I think he's a good person, seemingly.
But they said no. LeBron said no.
Yeah, I know, Curry, but it's like they still got to Harrison Barnes.
Maybe because he's a good teammate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe he's a good complimentary teammate who doesn't want anything other than, okay, I'll do whatever you need me to do.
Yeah.
Which is important for an individual who's still, what is his fourth year now, right? Starting his fourth year?
I think so, yeah.
To understand your place in the league hierarchy, as it were. But there's something to be said, I think, about internal strife. And if a guy like DeMarcus comes back with a gold medal, I wouldn't be surprised if there's someone in the locker room's like, this guy, he's not a leader. He doesn't do things the right way, yet he still gets everything. People are people.
I get it. I understand what you're saying. I just can't imagine that because his talent warrants him being on the Olympic team. Even if you don't like his attitude and you don't like his demeanor, his talent warrants him being there.
No one ever questioned
that. Yeah, even if his talent didn't, then the scenario you just laid out is very viable.
Well, name me someone who's
Harrison Barnes, for example. Imagine if Harrison Barnes had a bad attitude.
Yeah, then we go, why is he on the team?
Right, and then he comes, he walks into Dallas's locker room with a gold medal.
So
I think people would look at that and like, hey, come on, man. Are you serious?
This is the whole thing. You're saying that because DeMarcus has so much talent, you have to accept the attitude. Because he has so much talent, you have to say, well, he's got so much talent, he should be there.
Well, one, obviously, he's still here. So, obviously, someone somewhere accepts accepts the pitfalls that come with the talent.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is you can't say, how does this guy get named to the Olympic team and he has this bad attitude? Yeah, he's the best player at his position. He's going to get named to it.
But that attitude is what kept him from being first-team All-NBA. Yes, it is.
I understand that. You know who votes on that? Idiots like us. Media people.
Right. And those are the people.
You know who? Those people don't have a vote on USA basketball.
Right. Who does? Is it just Colangelo and Coach
Colangelo's
K, or is there
coaches.
A committee?
Coaches. There is a select committee.
Committee, yeah.
Yeah. It's a, but it's a very. Colangelo, if he wants somebody, he's going to get them.
But think about that. A league of writers. I don't know how many people vote for all NBA.
Oh, it's
300?
Hundreds.
Yeah, I think it's split up. Like,
so all of them are like, no, no, no. I know you're the best big man, but no.
Not all of them, but enough of them.
You're not going to be first team all NBA because we don't like what you represent. Yet, your country says that's okay.
Or is it we're not going to put you on all NBA first team because your team is bad, and quite frankly, we don't watch enough of you, and every story that we hear about you is bad. So we're going to put DeAndre Jordan on it because he's on the Clippers. He's with Doc Rivers. He's with Chris Paul. We respect those guys a little bit more. He's not the player that you are, but we're going to put him on there because we see him more and we know more that's associated with him, meaning Doc, meaning that Clipper organization, meaning Chris Paul.
Now, as sad as that is, it's true because I remember the same thing happening with Heisman Trophy contenders. I remember the first time I heard it with Marshall Faulk, and the actual East Coast writer said, I didn't stay up to watch the games. Right.
Christian McCaffrey and Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Two perfect examples. The fact that Andrew Luck didn't win the Heisman Trophy is it's a joke. It's laughable. RG3. Think about that for a second. RG3 won Rookie of the Year and the Heisman Trophy, beating Andrew Luck for both of them.
Oh, gosh.
Maybe the Heisman Committee decided Andrew Luck was too boring to give the Heisman Trophy to.
Goofy.
But they gave it to RG3 for reasons that you just said.
Because they didn't watch the East Coast or West Coast games.
They didn't watch Stanford.
And so that's what I remember when I heard that about the whole going back to Marshall Faulk, and then I heard it again with another player. I was like, you should have your credential taken away.
Yeah.
Because isn't that your job?
Yeah, why are you voting?
Your job to watch?
Yep.
And if there's a guy on the West Coast that's putting up 26-12 every night, you should be like, woo,
but you
I
got to
watch this guy.
But you look at box scores and you see 26-12, team lost.
Yeah.
The end.
Wow.
And when you have enough of those where you wake up over there on the East Coast and you see, oh, 20, yeah, 10, yep, team lost, okay. And suddenly you have a team that's 10 and 30.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter anymore.
And generally not one positive story either. If
right.
there's other stuff, it's never.
So eight once, games.
So once
eight
again,
games into the season.
So once again, NBA writers say you're not all NBA team. But the Olympic Committee says we'll take that attitude to represent this country. Think about that for 5 seconds.
I will. Those people that select the Olympic team to represent this country, as you keep saying, are far more intelligent than the 300 people who are allowed to vote for all NBA teams.
Maybe they have more information. I don't know if they're far more intelligent.
No, they're far more, basketball-wise,
because they
are far more intelligent.
Although we're also mistaking, they did spend the last 3 years grooming DeMarcus for this.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, and they're putting together a talent to make one team. I mean, it's where when you're evaluating a guy's season, you're also then looking at the totality of it, the stats, and then, hey, I see 27 wins, 32 wins. I'm picking the guy that won 48 wins or 52 games.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times. It seemingly right. is why they do that.
It's interesting.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Daniel, let's get you in. What's going on, man?
Oh, man, you guys are killing me with this DeMarcus thing.
Okay, explain.
Well, I mean, you got to look at this guy. He's got massive amounts of talent. But if you think about all the things he's gone through since he's been on the team, all the different coaches, all different things, there's no consistency that's gone for him. That's why everybody's scared to even come here. They look at the organization, and it's just like, what are you guys doing ever? How long has it been since we had any stability? And he's like ride or die for Sacramento, and everybody still wants to beat him up. I mean, he could have left a long time ago when everything was in shambles, but he hung in.
No, he really couldn't have. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but no, he couldn't have left. The money coming off your rookie contract is always incentive to stay. You'll rarely see guys leave after 4 years, especially players of DeMarcus Cousins' caliber. You're pretty much, if you're that top-tier player like DeMarcus is, you're going to be with your home team for 8 years. We'll find out how committed he is to Sacramento very shortly if the Kings don't trade him.
So you're
I know, but I mean, I just think it'd be a huge mistake. I think he's great. I just think that they have, you know, he's had so many coaches, so many everything, and then the one guy Malone that he really liked, and you kind of seen his attitude change a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and then they get rid of him for, you know, Carl. Come on,
right?
I mean, who wouldn't be frustrated at that?
No, Daniel. Hey, I've made that argument many times. We appreciate the call. So.
Man.
No, I know.
I mean,
I understand. It's 50-50. And I didn't mean to spend the first 20 minutes of the third hour talking about DeMarcus Cousins, but it's 50-50. It's right down the middle in this city with that guy. You love him or you hate him.
I'm like, the Philadelphia 76ers haven't won anything in the longest time, and I have yet to see one player have an attitude on that squad.
Really?
I haven't seen anyone acting out.
Sorry, Jahlil Okafor is on line one.
What did he do?
He punched some guy at a nightclub.
That's you mean on court.
I'm talking about with your teammates. I'm talking about in your club, in the locker room, on the court, with your coach, with your teammates, that kind of stuff.
Because they were all brought in and said, hey, look, you know what's going on here. We're going to lose. But for some reason, as we've learned through this draft over the last couple of months, the process is over. They landed the first-round pick, so the process is over. This is what we were waiting for. If they had gotten the first-round pick apparently 3 years ago, maybe the process would have been over then. But for some reason this year, Philadelphia has decided the process is over and they're done tanking.
Milwaukee Bucks have been struggling.
Yeah.
Borderline playoff a couple years ago, struggling. Denver Nuggets, struggling. Minnesota Timberwolves, a lot of top draft picks, losing games. Yet I have yet to see anyone on those rosters be as disruptive as we heard DeMarcus is.
Who was the first team? Milwaukee. Who's their coach?
Jason Kidd.
Who's Denver's coach?
Mike Malone.
And then what was the last one you named? Minnesota. Well,
Tibbs now.
It's Tibbs now, but last year they were still under the Flip Saunders umbrella.
Yes.
They lost Flip before the season started, right. So they were still under that
umbrella.
I think
Sam Mitchell took
over.
There's
a big difference.
In the coaching, you mean?
In the coaching, in the overall structure of the organization. There's a big difference.
How is
from top to bottom.
George Karl has more wins than any of those guys.
How do you feel like Denver is more stable than Sacramento?
Well, he was the coach. There was someone before Malone. Was it Shaw? Was it Brian Shaw?
Brian Shaw had the job in
Denver. And then it was George Karl before that.
Correct.
Even with those coaching changes right there, Denver was still a better structured organization than Sacramento.
Okay,
Milwaukee's the one because they went through. I mean, they sold either right before or right after the Kings did for $600 million. That's the one, and there was the Milwaukee moving thing. So they're the exception to the three teams you just named. Structure of those organizations is better from top to bottom, ownership to player 15. This organization has been a mess.
But I would say, too, again, it's never one person's fault, but DeMarcus has to have some culpability in part of the coaching changes. I mean, so say he hasn't been – the caller just said that he hasn't had any coaches stick around long enough. Well, he's part of that. He is part of that.
Is he? He's part of one, and you would know better than I would. Is he part of the – is he a fraction of the other ones?
Do you think he liked Westfall?
Okay, too.
Do you think he liked Coach Smart at the end?
Right.
Do you think he liked Coach Corbin?
I don't know. But really, Westfall, okay.
Yeah.
The George Karl one obviously was sour from the start.
But that was DeMarcus's choice. You can't get mad at a 30-year veteran coach for saying, hey, any player is tradable. That's a general blanket statement.
And that's
any coach
fine.
Would say.
That's fine. But leading into that hire, I'll admit I was in Connecticut at the time. Every single national media person says wrong hire for the wrong team. George Karl, respected, great guy, Hall of Fame coach, wrong guy for that team. So I'm going to take a lot. When you hear that so often going into the hire, when you're hearing that just because there's rumors of the hire, I'm going to think, hey, maybe those people knew what they were talking about. Maybe there's more than just that comment George Karl made that day, which he thought was a throwaway remark and turned out to be what his whole tenure in Sacramento was based off of.
I can't give them credit. They got a 50-50 chance of getting that right, Damian. Either it's a good move or it's a bad move. So you can easily play contrarian with everything.
But do you think this?
And this is a coach that lobbied that he wanted to be here. For a struggling franchise.
He wanted a job.
Okay, whatever. But you're a struggling franchise and a potential Hall of Fame coach who's won more games than anybody out there says, I want to coach that team.
And I just happen to be unemployed at this moment. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, do you think they would have said the same thing if George comes here and DeMarcus was not on the team?
No. I think the DeMarcus was the reference.
Right. So
that's his responsibility.
Then how is that? You know, that's where I think it's really interesting.
How's that not on him?
Yeah.
He's the young
player
that needs to grow.
You knew going in.
I hate talking about DeMarcus Cousins for 26 minutes in freaking July. Unbelievable.
Hey, it's August.
It's Team USA. It is August. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. And it is Team USA. And LeBron James isn't on Team USA. But in the new cover story of Sports Illustrated, he admitted something we've long known, but he finally said out loud. We'll cover that next right here on The Lowdown on your home for the best live and local coverage of the National Football League. Sports 1140 KHTK. A quick note wanted to throw out there about USA Basketball that I kept trying to – it was like double judge with a DeMarcus Cousins conversation. You want to get it in?
Yeah.
You want to get it in, but it just never came about. And quick apologies to Text Nation at 44-1140. When you do an entire segment on that particular Sacramento King, we can never catch up with the amount of texts that come in at that moment.
Sorry.
Jalen Rose had an interesting thought watching Carmelo Anthony become the first – four-time American Olympian in men's basketball. He thinks NBA players should only get to do the Olympics once.
Oh.
Okay.
What do you think about that? I think it's – won't they run out of players at some point?
Yeah. Right.
Run out of guys that you want to send?
And there's something about having that experience to draw upon from your previous outing. So, you know, like we talked about how Carmelo –
as we discussed in depth in the last segment.
What? Well, he has gotten better with his experience in the previous years. It kind of – trained him to how they want him to behave and how this team is supposed to be. And you mentioned that Carmelo, he got better with each time coming through there. So I think you need more than one Olympic experience to really excel.
Yeah, I'd like to see more than one.
He says, I think if you get one gold medal, then you should pass definitely two. Well, I think now you're talking about, I mean, I guess depending on the years, it could be 4 years, it could be 4 to 8 years. Oh, interesting thought, though. Gets more people involved in USA Basketball. Doesn't have as much of a – I mean, I think that happens anyways because LeBron, I kind of think, was just – I think he was just tired of it. Like, it makes for – because not only, you know, you got the World Championships in addition to the Olympics. So every 2 years, really, you're talking about some sort of USA basketball commitment.
I think what had, you know, what made the Dream Team so unique, the original one, was it was the first time. But it was also, if you think about it, it was the end for Magic and Bird. Mm-hmm. Jordan right in his prime. And some of the players that, so if you did that now, this year specifically, think about that. Like if Kobe played one last time, if LeBron were healthy, if Steph played. I mean, now you're talking about two guys that played in the finals, two of the best on the planet. With Kobe at the end, I think you could have something very similar to the original Dream Team. This team is still really good, but I think it could have even been better and maybe more appealing where you go, oh, yeah, I want to see LeBron and Steph play together with Kobe.
Right.
I think that's where we've all would have been really intrigued.
But here's the question. With all due respect to his legacy, was Kobe good enough this year to be any sort of a factor on the Olympic team?
He could have gone and played 4 minutes.
Yeah. Kind of like even like we saw with Magic and Bert, we saw they were near
saw
the bottom of
John
stats.
John Stockton.
Yeah.
John Stockton barely played.
But John Stockton still came back and made two NBA finals after that.
What's your point?
He was still good. I'm talking about Larry Bird was laying on the sidelines. That was different because he had a back problem, so he had limited minutes.
Is that wrong?
What?
To lay on your back?
Yeah. No, laying on his stomach. On his stomach, excuse me, to take the pressure off of his back. I was wondering if Kobe would even be as effective as Larry was.
Of course he would.
His last game, he gave us 60.
Kobe had the perfect Kobe ending.
He took 50 shots, though, didn't he?
It doesn't matter.
Details.
It doesn't matter. Okay. It was the perfect Kobe ending.
Sure.
60 points on 50 shots.
That's true. That is super Kobe-esque. That is Kobe-esque.
And they won their 17th win of the year.
They should bring back like an old-timer on the Olympic team. Like just Iverson on this team or something.
Ooh. See, Iverson would still drop 20.
Yeah.
Iverson was on the bronze medal team. Iverson would sign up for that in a heartbeat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You'd be like, yeah, let me get that taste out of my mouth. LeBron James, cover story, Sports Illustrated. I think it hits newsstands tomorrow. Was asked by one of his campers in Southern California, what's your motivation now that you've delivered that elusive championship to Cleveland? He says, and I quote, my motivation is the ghost I'm chasing. The ghost played in Chicago. What do you think about that?
That's fine. I don't know that. What does that mean? What's the tangible? Can anybody define right now if we said, what would it take for LeBron to surpass Michael Jordan? And some would say, well, he lost in the finals. He can't do it. So what does it matter? I mean, I don't even know what the answer someone would say. This was a really big championship, in my opinion. But it's three less than Jordan. So what could he even do?
We talked about it earlier. He had already won the first championship for Cleveland. He has to hope the Indians win the World Series. And then he has to come and play wide receiver for the Browns.
Then he did it.
And then
he might have to play both sides. He might have to play Iron Man football for the Browns.
Play a little safety and
maybe.
Some
be in draft day two.
Receiver.
Yeah. He's in draft day two. Maybe.
That's the only way he can do it.
Yeah.
And he better be a whole lot better in draft day two than he was in train wreck.
He was okay, just wasn't anything special.
Called him low-hanging fruit.
You know what? One day we're going to have to talk about the best performances from an athlete acting in a film.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I'm not talking about, no, those aren't athletes.
Hulk Hogan, Suburban Commando.
No. Hulk Hogan, like
John
Arnold
Cena
Schwarzenegger, John Cena, those don't count.
Kareem and Airplane.
Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't count?
No, I mean a real athlete.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Weight training.
What a shot.
You don't run.
You don't run in golf.
You don't have to compete in anything. You lift
bodybuilding.
Weights. You compete with yourself. That's fantastic. I'm not saying that it's just a different athletic endeavor.
Boy, you opened up a whole other can with that remark.
What's that?
Calling Arnold saying he wasn't an athlete.
Are you seriously telling me Arnold Schwarzenegger was an athlete? Are you seriously telling me that?
Athletish. He was an athlete-ish. Is there such thing as athletish?
Sure. Just made it up.
It was that.
Good.
Athletic.
Ish. Yes, thank you. Our final segment, three stories you may not be paying attention to, but you should, coming up next on The Lowdown. Hey, gentlemen, I'll lead us off because I've been holding on to this story for the last couple of segments, been trying to fit it in. Kevin Durant said something interesting regarding his old teammate, James Harden. He said nobody really appreciates what he does except for the players in our league. Everybody on the outside doesn't really appreciate what he brings. Anybody that can put up 29 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and not make the All-NBA team, that's like a sin to even think about not putting a guy like that on the All-NBA team.
Hmm. That is interesting.
Now remember,
because I didn't know that all the other players like truly respected him.
Well, remember the year Seth Curry won his first MVP award?
Steph.
Steph. Seth hasn't won one yet.
Not yet.
It's
yet.
Coming, though.
It's coming.
It's coming.
He'll get six man of the year
in Dallas.
First.
Yeah.
No, I think he's just going to jump straight to the MVP. He's going to get most improved in MVP in the same year, what his brother Ooh. Couldn't do. The year Steph Curry, thank you, got his first MVP, the players did their MVP vote, and James Harden got it. And James Harden started all of last year saying he still deserved the MVP award. So it seems like players have always, at least for the last couple of years, have really respected James Harden.
Seems like they get more respect after they're done playing with him.
Yeah.
You dig?
Well, I think other players don't really care that he doesn't play defense. They probably enjoy that fact.
Yeah. I think it's light
us.
Him up.
I think it's us that watch that are like, dude.
Come on.
Try.
Come on. Other players are like, nah, we're good with that. Yeah. It works.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
I'll go basketball too here with this because it has a little bit of a local tie, but I think he's finally given up his NBA dreams, and that's Jimmer Fredette. Jimmer Fredette today apparently is signed and is relocating to China. He's going to sign with the Shanghai Sharks. He's had D-League stints. He's tried and tried and tried to make it in the NBA, little cameos here and there. But I think he wants more of the certainty of a paycheck that's going to come and stick, and so he's going to play in China. And you know what? That's fine if he's still going to be a professional basketball player, but it just never materialized for the guy that was really, really good in college and just didn't have it in the NBA.
Is that Yao Ming's team?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That explains the text message we got earlier saying they saw Jimmer Fredette and Trent Richardson on the same plane to China.
Makes sense.
I don't know if Jimmer's trying to get. I don't know if Trent Richardson's trying to get on the basketball team or if there's a football team in China. But
good luck.
Apparently, they're headed in the same direction.
That's a shame. That's a shame. Hey, just wondering, quick question for you guys. You got any plans for your urine?
Excuse me.
I do.
I can hear Chris laughing there through the glass.
Do you have any plans for your urine?
I was gonna flush it.
Ah, that's where you've made a huge mistake,
oh,
sir.
Oh dear.
Because we ran this story on Good Day Sacramento, and then it's also in the Sacramento Bee. You need to help out science by going to Sudwork Brewery Company in Davis because they're collecting your urine, and they need it badly. They're collecting urine for a special project where a UC Davis researcher named Harold Leverance and his colleagues are developing natural fertilizer that may eventually support the local agriculture. And what they're doing is working on the chemical process that isolates the nutrients in urine. So what they have is a special place called the pee hive. That's with the pee. No, this is grown-ups. This is science, people.
Yes.
It's called the pee hive, and it's out there in the back of Sudwork Brewery in Davis. And after you have a couple of pints and you have to go to the bathroom, they would rather you go outside to the pee hive so they can collect that urine. And once they get, it's like 250 gallons in that. Then they forklift that over and take it to the treatment center where they figure out how to get the nutrients out of the urine to put that in the fertilizer to make it super fertilizer and help the local agriculture. So, pints on me, guys.
Yeah, there you go.
What Let's if go you help have out science.
PED-laced urine? That'll be super fertilizer.
Oh, well, I don't know if they're going to be able to. I figure they can separate that, right?
Okay.
You think?
I don't know.
We should just change this segment from and one to weird crap Ken finds.
Well, this is and one, and this is how you do the number one.
Yes.
To help science. See what I just did there?
It's for science.
I see what you did.
Come on, that was awesome.
Thank you. That was tremendous.
Come on, but this is real, though. Seriously, go to Sudwork and Davis, have a couple of pints, and help out science.
Yeah. Of course, first question, does it have to be clean urine?
No, they can separate the nutrients from the urine. They're scientists.
They can do anything
with
urine.
They can do anything. They're
what
scientists.
What if that results in some great crops?
You see what I'm saying? And you can say, bro, I helped to fertilize that.
Now eat this tomato.
It's got my urine in it.
Worst conversation starter ever.
But it's real.
Think about this conversation the next time you're at a restaurant eating a tomato.
I will.
A salad.
Or drinking a beer.
Mm.
I want you to know
yes, sir.
That the conversation regarding athletes in movies is far far from over.
I hope not. I hope it.
We are revisiting that
because there's so many. There's so many you could nominate.
There's one clear winner.
There is one clear,
but we'll
number
wait.
One contender.
No clear
no,
winner.
We'll let the listeners
hands down gold
how about
medalist.
The listeners vote tomorrow.
fine.
All right.
Mm. We have What If Wednesday tomorrow, too.
Oh, that's right.
We'll work it all in. We got time. Jason's off Friday, so as long as we get it in tomorrow or Thursday, right? Are you on Friday?
Yeah, Friday, yeah. Okay.
Or did I just give you a day off on the radio?
I'll take it, sure.
Hey, one other thing I wanted to point out before we turn things over to Grant Napier in a couple of minutes. We were talking about the LeBron James article on Sports Illustrated cover story a few minutes ago, and the acknowledgement, he's chasing the ghosts, he's chasing Michael Jordan. We weren't really able to define what that means, but I think the most interesting quote, the acknowledgement, he's chasing the ghosts, he's chasing Michael Jordan. We weren't really able to define what that means, but I think the most interesting quote in that article actually came from Tyronn Lue. And it's a great article, by the way. You read its entirety. It's already posted up on, I don't even know why they have magazines anymore, because they post a cover story online for you to read. And it's tremendous. It's great. There's a lot of background into Game 7, particularly the aftermath of Game 7. Mm. Point is, Tyronn Lue says of LeBron James, LeBron reminds me sometimes of Kevin Garnett. KG was so engaged in the game, he couldn't really enjoy it. I'm hoping, now that LeBron won a championship in Cleveland, he can go really just enjoy the game and the city and the camaraderie, and being the best player in the world without all the pressure. Mm. I thought that was interesting. That's from Ty Lue.
Maybe that does happen for him.
Yeah. You'd like, well, I if I he never, said he's still chasing that ghost, it may never happen for him if he says he's chasing that ghost.
But what is he – I go with the question you pose. What is he chasing?
Yeah. Because think about it. What he just did, he pulled off something no one else – has down 3-1, being right. an unbeatable team. If they did it again, if they beat them now with Durant, and some people say, "Nah, Jordan won 6, didn't lose one."
I mean,
how do you compete with that?
Is that all we're talking about at this point? Is the 6-0?
I don't know. I mean, some will. You know that some will hang on to that fact, and so LeBron can't catch him.
Just like some will hang on to the decision, forever.
Right. So I think he's chasing something that's unreachable for some. Others might say LeBron's better. I don't know.
Technically, it's unreachable.
It's all opinion anyway.
Purely unreachable because he's 6-0.
Right.
And LeBron's already lost, two?
He's lost
three.
Three? Has he lost three?
Spurs,
he lost one with Cleveland.
Cavs.
Heat, Cavs. Okay, so he's lost three. Thank you.
So he lost to the Spurs.
And the Warriors. He's lost four. He's been there 7 times.
Four?
Right?
No, he lost the first one with the Cavs to San Antonio.
Yeah.
He lost the first one with the Heatles.
2 with the Heat.
Oh, that's right. They lost again to the Spurs. You're right.
And then the Warriors.
It's amazing how quickly we forget because the narrative was him about to lose his 5th.
Yeah.
Wow.
He actually lost 4th. Completely forgot.
Yeah.
He lost 4.
Okay, but he went to 7?
Yeah, one more than Jordan.
He's already better than Jordan.
So there you go. But that's some would say that.
That's terrible,
others wouldn't
terrible
say
logic.
That.
No? That is awful logic.
That's awful? Okay.
That's awful.
But some have done that with Brady compared to Montana. Well, Montana's 4-0. Well, Brady can't pass that, but he's been to several more Super Bowls. Now he's lost more.
Yeah. Okay. I still, even having been through both of those eras, being much younger in the Montana era, I still don't think I've seen a better quarterback than Joe Montana.
Thank you.
I don't.
He's the greatest quarterback ever.
Are you thinking? Are you just, you don't have
I don't know. I mean, it's really hard to argue against.
I know it's subjective, but.
I don't think so, because if you look at the way Joe Montana did it compared to the way Tom Brady did it. Tom Brady's fantastic. Comeback kid and everything. But Joe Montana did everything. People forget that first Super Bowl. He's the leading rusher for the Niners in the Super Bowl. He does whatever the party calls for. Yeah. That's why he's the greatest quarterback ever.
How do you catch a ghost?
I know. Uncatchable.
Maybe Grant can tell us.
Who are you going to call?
Yeah. Maybe Grant can tell us. He's up next. Yep. There it is. That's Jason Ross. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Ken Rudolph, Damian Barling, the Grant Napier Show is coming up next.